So first of all, good afternoon. Thanks for coming to this presentation. My name is Ken Hackbarth. This is my email address. I am just one member of a team of volunteer therapists, teachers, and engineers. We all hope to convince you that there's something very special about our 3D printed bliss symbols, 3D printed bliss tactile symbols. And as a volunteer, I have no relevant financial, no relevant non-financial relationships to disclose. Everything's still here in case you still need to grab it. Here's our agenda for the session. We'll begin by setting a baseline understanding of tactile symbols. And then I want to credit Project CORE out of the University of North Carolina for their creative insight before I talk about how I think their approach falls short of an optimal tactile symbol system. I think we have an optimal system based on bliss symbolics, so we're going to spend a little bit of time learning about the basics of bliss symbols and our bliss tactile symbols. We've built an entire ecosystem around our tactile symbols, so we want you to know how you can obtain all these free resources. And we're talking about more than just ideas here. So at this point in the presentation, I'll turn it over to some virtual members of the team to share their experience using these symbols in the classroom. And if there's time, if I'm able to keep up the pace, I want to share with you some third-party and DIY devices and products and offers that you may want to take advantage of along with our symbols. And we've got them all up here at the front table, so when the presentation's over, please come up and get a hands-on experience with them, okay? And ask any questions you have. So we've all seen tactile symbols before, traditional tactile symbols, even if just in pictures. Here's some more pictures. They're used by individuals who are blind or visually impaired to gather information about the world around them and express their needs and desires. And they can be useful for when you're working with students who have trouble with executive functioning, have autism, or simply aren't responding to other communication systems. The symbol can incorporate a physical object like a ribbon, or simply have a unique tactile profile. So there are two pictures on the screen. One is of a plastic starfish glued to a card, and the card has the label star. Below that is a round card with seven black and white raised dots, and the card is labeled snow. So traditional tactile symbols are normally constructed by gluing a physical object onto a rigid backing. The physical object may have a relatively intuitive relationship with the symbol's referent. For example, here we see a plastic spoon or part of a plastic spoon glued to a card to represent the concept to eat. But it's much harder to create effective tactile symbols for concepts that are less tangible. On the slide now we have a card with a raised circle as the representation of the concept yes. Less tangible concepts tend to be modeled very differently by different tactile symbol designers. There are issues also like, what do you do with something that's really physically large? For example, how do you model a tree? A leaf? A piece of bark? And similarly, what do you do with complex or multi-component concepts? The slide shows an image of a card with a half of a tennis ball on it. Is a tennis ball really the best representation of gym class? Well, it might depend on what semester you're in, who knows? But a tennis ball to represent gym class as a whole, it's just too complex a concept. It's really rare for a tactile symbol system to represent more than 100 concepts. And when you're only modeling a few concepts, there's little or no motivation to first establish a set of rules around symbol design and then adhere to those rules. Without rules, there's little hope of conceptual carryover from symbol to related symbol And such simple sets must be learned by definition through rote memorization. I'm still getting loud. I think the most telling aspect of traditional tactile symbols, and for that matter, all the popular graphic image sets, is they're always accompanied by a text label. Ostensibly, that text label is there to aid the communication partner. Only by first reading the label can you kind of back into why that thing was chosen. And sometimes not even that. So on the slide now is a picture of a card with a piece of string glued horizontally under the card. Now, why do you think that raised shape is meaningful as the representation of the concept to want? Here are 11 tactile symbols from popular tactile symbol sets. In some cases, you'll see something that looks relatively intuitive, an arrow representing the concept to go. But why a beaded triangle as the representation of the concept more? And I bet if I walked around here and asked any one of you why a cross was chosen as the concept to help, especially a red cross, you could tell me. This one I think is brown sandpaper. Now take a moment and think, how much cultural knowledge do you need to tie cross to help? And how much of that cultural knowledge does a young person have? On the right, there are a number of tactile symbols that are at least internally consistent. They use a piece of string to roughly represent the concept of now, and then they build on that. But where does this tactile symbol set go when you want it? You want to represent something like to want. All that internal consistency is immediately lost. Oh, I should also say, imagine trying to intuit the meaning of these symbols without that partner text. And then realize, again, the individual using these, depending on these symbols, can't take advantage of that partner text. So I'll switch gears, talk about a breakthrough, my point of view, in the design of tactile symbols. Project CORE is a program of the Center for Literacy and Disability Studies at the University of North Carolina in Chapel Hill. They established a set of 36 universal CORE words in support of their universal CORE communication system. Then they came up with 36 designs for 3D printable tactile symbols to support that universal CORE word set. I think that was brilliant. I think it was just a grad student came up with that idea. But I still think that was a brilliant idea. So here we have an early version of their design for the concept to go. It has a raised arrow from left to right, the word go engraved, and braille bumps for the letters G and O. All of those features are on the top surface of the 3D print. Next, they turned around and made all of their designs free to the public as downloadable STL files. An STL file is an input to the 3D printing process, one of the possible inputs. Because they're 3D printable, making an arbitrary number of copies of any particular design is as simple as 3D printing it. You get exact copies. And though they're made of plastic, they're very sturdy and robust. So, Vicky, would you please pass around those Project CORE symbols? So we're passing around right now a few samples of the Project CORE symbol for the concept to like. It's their current design. Explore the symbol tactily, especially see how Braille is rendered on the top surface of a 3D print. And then I'm going to collect those from you once you got a chance to evaluate them, because I want you guys to leave with something else, not these. So, yes, it was a breakthrough. It was very creative. Unfortunately, STL files can't reasonably be modified if for some reason you need to. There's no support for adding new concepts. There are 36 and only 36 universal core words and 3D printable symbols. Putting Braille engraved text along with the raised shape on that same surface of the 3D print, I think just unnecessarily complicates tactile and cognitive processing. If you look at all 36 symbols together, there aren't any obvious features that tie together related concepts beyond their word class. And often, there doesn't even seem to be a close tie between the raised shape and the symbol's referent. So the slide shows now a picture of their current design for the concept More. It has three raised dots. Anybody know why three raised dots is representative of the concept More? I've thought about it. You think you know?
Oh, like the ellipsis?
Oh, like the ellipsis.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, that's something I never thought of, but boy, I'm telling you.
Yay!
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay, maybe. You know what? Those are great ideas. I don't think they're right. But I think they're great ideas. But imagine again how much cultural knowledge you need to pull that out. And even then you're just kind of winging it. With no tactile and conceptual carryover from symbol to related symbol, this symbol set must also be learned through rote memorization, just like the previous ones. So if the previous two approaches are non-optimal, what would an optimal tactile symbol system look like? Well, first, it would be immediately conceptual. There'd be no need for transformations from raised shape to concept, like raised shape. Raised shape to... take this down more. Raised shape to sign language, to concept, or raised shape to Braille letter, to English word, to concept. No, you start conceptually. It'd be comprised of simple elements, just a few lines and simple curves to lower the required tactile and cognitive load. It would be extensible. So being based on a generative language allows you to create new symbols from existing symbols. The set should be extensible. You should be able to create new symbols for new concepts. And because the designs would be 3D printable, creating exact copies of the design you settle on is as simple as 3D printing it. There should be a standards body involved in grounding the language and ensuring that new symbols adhere to the rules of the language. The standards body should establish a set of rules. And then they should enforce those rules when new symbols are designed to ensure that there's conceptual carryover from symbols to related symbols. The standards body should be independent of culture and language so that there's no assumed need for cultural knowledge or familiarity with the language in order to use the symbol set. The standards body, if I didn't already say it, should be multicultural and multilingual. All right, so with those criteria in mind, I want to take a few minutes to introduce you to the symbolics. If you think it's best to teach children to communicate by using a language, instead of a collection of arbitrary images or shapes, I'd like to tell you about the language of Liszt symbolics. Liszt symbols were developed by Charles Liszt in the 1940s. He was looking for a language that could be learned and used by anyone on earth. His language is constructed, meaning consciously devised instead of naturally evolved. Ideographic, meaning graphic symbols that represent an idea or concept without phenomena. And generative, meaning able to create an infinite number of concepts from an initial finite set. The language is purely conceptual. The symbols don't have to be translated into a spoken language in order to be understood. This has special implications for cognitively disabled individuals. List symbols are constructed using a few straight lines and simple curves. As such, they require less cognitive effort to explore and recognize. For tactile learners, this means that the symbols can be processed more quickly and reliably than symbol sets that are more complex in their construction. Basic list symbolics are pictographic in nature. Their associated concepts relate easily to their graphic. For example, the roof-shaped symbol represents protection. More complex concepts build on these simpler concepts. Here are more simple shapes for simple concepts. More complex concepts can be constructed from these simpler concepts by overlaying one on the other. Here, we see the arrow concepts overlaid on the enclosure and container concepts. Convey new concepts like into, out of, get, and give. A female protector is a mother. A similar and consistent process is used for father. The container with water is a bath. The chair over water is a toilet. Concepts may also be created by appending one basic symbol to another. For example, all feeling words in the symbolics have the heart shape at their core. They are then qualified by appending other shapes to represent specific feelings. Feeling plus up means happy, while feeling plus down means sad. Positive feelings mean good, while negative feelings mean bad. Charles Bliss survived the concentration camps of World War II and was deeply affected by Nazi propaganda. When he created his new language, he wanted the language to clearly indicate when a concept was fundamentally an opinion rather than a fact. An adjective or adverb could lean either way depending on your point of view. He put an unstable ankle shape over these kind of concepts. For Charles Bliss, volcano epitomized action and power, so he drew his action indicator from the shape of a volcano. He asked, what does the eye do? It sees. What does the ear do? It hears, and so on. This is how verbs are easily built from nouns. Our 3D printed list tactile symbols reflect the two types of indicators in the top edge of the symbol. Verbs have an action indicator like top. Adjectives and adverbs have an evaluation indicator like top. Nouns, on the other hand, have a rounded top edge. In addition, you can use filament color to distinguish among the parts of speech. In this case, we've used colors from the Fitzgerald key. The symbols can be enhanced by placing engraved text on the back surface, adding braille to the sides, or including holes at different locations for mounting the symbol on a string.
And that's a little old. You can do more now.
Of representing concepts through list symbols by visiting these websites and pages.
It's so, ironic that this was 1947.
It's been around a while. So I was really impressed with the regularity and predictability of this language 40 years ago when I first encountered it in college. I hope you feel a little bit of that right now. And I hope you see that this is a language that operates entirely in the conceptual domain. It's not reliant upon a particular culture or tied to a particular spoken language. So, Bliss symbols are unlike any other graphic symbol set. They're curated by a multicultural, multilingual, non-proprietary standards body. When a new symbol has to be added to the language, people are assigned to ensure that that symbol adheres to the rules of symbol design and leverages the rest of the language. What process do you think is followed when they need to add a new symbol to PCS or symbol sticks? This is a screenshot of the homepage for Bliss Symbolics Communication International. That is the organization that curates Bliss symbols. So, in 2015, Isaacson and Lloyd saw something special in Bliss symbols. It had them wondering about their applicability to the tactile domain. In particular, they wondered, due to their simplicity, features like edges, outlines, and kinesthetic feedback are optimized in raised line renderings of Bliss symbols, which may facilitate recognition of tactile Bliss symbols. In short, the conformational characteristics of Bliss symbols results in stimuli that have minimal complexity or low potential cognitive load. and when rendered as raised lines, have characteristics that may increase the efficiency of perceptual and cognitive processes involved in communication with tactile symbols. This slide shows three images of our bliss tactile symbols, the symbol for to drink, different, and father. So Vicky's going to pass around some samples of a few other of our tactile symbols. They're for you to take home with you and share with your associates. And if they're extra, and I think there may be a few extra, they'll just be sitting up here at front. And if you want to take some extra, take them when the presentation's over. So we created 242 of our tactile symbols for you to freely download and print. They span the 36 universal core words from Project Core, as well as Gail Van Patenhove's core vocabulary list for students with intellectual disabilities. And the screenshot on the slide right now shows the web page where you can download the STL files for individual symbols and for collections of symbols. We also support you in modifying these designs or adding new symbols, taking advantage of the free graphics from BCI. So the slide now shows a screenshot of the tactile symbol designer. You can modify our existing symbols. You can create new symbols. It's as simple as choosing options from pull-down lists and typing into text boxes. The magic of OpenSCAD. You can take advantage of the trigonographic nature of list symbols to create motivational tools like these example bliss puzzles here. There are four puzzles on the screen. Oh, they're 3D printable, by the way. Four puzzles on the screen. One picture shows a puzzle that has been disassembled. You can create 3D printable tools like these, explorers and challenge tile sets, to provide scaffolding to help your students develop their tactile skills from simple shapes to more complex ones. There are four pictures here, two challenge tile sets in white and two explorers in color. And we've also taken the extra step of putting together a few explicit teaching plans that will help you get started. The screen shows a printed lesson plan, or teaching plan rather, with a few, with the Bliss Tactile symbols and Bliss Head Explorer that support that plan. Our set of teaching plans is admittedly small at this point, and we would love your help in extending the plans beyond based on your own learning experience. All right, so I want to share now some thoughts from people who are also on the team who've used these in the classroom.
Describe the profile of a student with whom you are using or anticipate using the Bliss Tactile symbols.
I've been trialing Bliss symbols with a 20-year-old in my classroom who is blind. She has no eyeball in one eye, and then she has a retinal dysplasia in the other one. She also is diagnosed with an intellectual disability.
So the student is a primary kindergarten age student who has a variety of needs due to a rare genetic disorder. Due to her physical and medical needs, she's not able to access your more typical communication system.
I would consider different types of children, not just a student with a vision impairment. I'd consider those with multiple sensory impairments, possibly vision and hearing. I would definitely consider any child. You often hear teachers say, well, he's too low. And so any child that I think maybe they're not ready to attend to some of the visual boards, I would definitely introduce these. I know I've had a lot of students, even with autism, that really like to fidget and hold things. So I think I would use these as a way to almost supplement the communication with another system.
The students that I would use this kind of system with would be students who won't be visually impaired, with kind of limited communication skills, limited verbal speech, who just kind of need some fundamental beginnings of like beginning to communicate in a way that they understand.
I think back to one particular student that I had, and she had fetal alcohol syndrome. And with fetal alcohol syndrome, you've got really some atypical learning patterns, but one of the things is that contrast. And so for her, she always liked to fidget. She almost needed something in her hands to hold. And I would have definitely use these with that child because they would have been really beneficial. So for her, that's one of the first classrooms we're going to target and see because she has got hearing impairment and then she's got cognitive impairment. And she's also had a very transient lifestyle. So life has been very inconsistent for her. So we want to have a very consistent system and we're starting out with 20 of the symbols.
When would you use the Bliss tactile symbols with a visually impaired or non-speaking student?
So we wanted something that was easy to make, that was long-lasting, that could be, you know, carried by the student themselves, and also on top of that, like something that could help develop the student's language and literacy. Mm-hmm. So Bliss symbol fit all of that. Bliss symbols can help like increase language use and to answer like predetermined questions during a lesson. That's like one of the main uses that my student does. Also, they use Bliss symbols as a schedule, so that they can anticipate what's coming next, and they can also anticipate what's expected of them. So we wanted something that was easy to make, that was long-lasting, that could be carried by the student themselves. I mean, they're very durable, which is another huge advantage, because I have a lot of sensory-seeking students and sensory-reliant students in my classroom who enjoy using the tactile symbols for, to help them focus during the day. But one of those gets lost. Put one in the software, and 24 hours later, I got it again in 4 years.
I feel it's really important for these students that we use the symbols to communicate with them, as well as for them to be able to communicate with us. And you know, for so many of these kiddos with a reduced vision, all of a sudden they're just moved, or they arrive at places and they don't know. So we were trying to use the symbols more like that go and finish to represent things that are kind of more abstract.
So why would I do this because trying to get kids to kind of just tap on something that does not differentiate in any sort of way, such as with any kind of communication device or just a flat button, it's not as meaningful. They don't want to explore. It takes so much effort for them to touch something, as opposed to them being having a chance to just feel something and run their fingers over it and explore it independently. Try to get them to just touch something on their own, rather than me doing having them like hold their head, hand over head, and vibrator, and start to develop their independent sound.
Many of the students that we work with, especially some of the low-income students, they don't have enough experience holding a variety of objects. And I think that this might be a more engaging way to start using a language system rather than a typical communication. You know, my hope is that starting with very young children when we're introducing this, although I do have a certain classroom right now that I'm trying to introduce, actually, we are introducing it. And it's a middle school girl who has a vision impairment, even cognitive disability, and a lot of behaviors right now. And she needs a form of communication. So I'm working with some teachers there to try to introduce it. I would like to see a set in every classroom that is self-contained as a supplement. And there's a lot of flexibility with them, so I would try to match the vocabulary being used in a classroom so it's an alternative and not necessarily one or the other. I think we often hold our students with disabilities to a higher standard where they only get one means of communication. And I would look at this as just a powerful tool as a part of the communication system. Any child that is not responding to a typical communication system, or any child who's slowly progressing on another communication system, I might supplement it with this as a tactile means to support communication with the system. Every classroom that has those students that somebody thinks doesn't have potential, I would definitely want a set of these in there.
What advantages you see in using the Bliss tactile symbols with students?
So she, in the past, had been using symbols that we created using the Texas School for the Blind and Visually Impaired Dictionary, and those were working okay, but they're handmade. And not the same person all the time can make the symbols, so there's room for inconsistencies based on how we perceive the symbols, and then also the materials that are available to us at any given time. Everyone else in my class has a diagnosis of intellectual disability or multiple disability, and the fact that they're interested in the symbols and that they want to learn with my 20-year-old student, shows me the accessibility that Bliss symbols have. But they've been through the washing machine and the dryer. they've been ran over, they've been thrown across the room, and they're still usable.
So the more we looked into this, the beauty of the Bliss symbols is that it exists, an existing system or whatever, and it's always easy to create a new one that's already standardized instead of starting over and recreating. The consistency is what's really nice. As they move to programs, that part, you know, going to remain the same. Their size is nice. There are a lot of things that already exist out there that are tactile, if you will, symbols. They can often end up being very big. So the size of these is perfect, that they can always be with the student is important. I also like the amount of information on them. It's just enough. Often there's too much on things, and students can end up being distracted versus getting the needed information.
Do you see more time to touch it? I think that has to be the biggest thing. We see more time to explore it on their own without me having to press it around their head. Like, you push this button, you don't know where it is, don't know what it looks like, push this button. As opposed to they put their hand over it and they just even touching it sometimes because I have it on top of an AAC device. They put their hand over it and they explore it and it triggers the sounds. And now they're making sound to symbol. And I love that.
You know, one of the benefits to the Bliss symbols is it's a generative system. There's so many options because it's a full vocabulary system. There's 3,000 symbols at our fingertips that we can produce. So there's nothing that we can't work on to teach that child language. I like these particular tactile symbols because, well, they're easy to hold. So it's engaging. It's something to hold. It's just, you know, you're always trying to find different manipulatives to get kids interested. And our kids often are, they don't have the opportunity to manipulate things. You really do need that more simple shape. And so one of the advantages to the Bliss symbols is they're very simple shapes, and when you combine the shapes, then it actually makes more generative language. Yeah, I just think it has so much potential. I'm really excited about them.
Okay, so in the time that remains, I want to just introduce you to some third-party and DIY devices that you might want to take advantage of along with our tactile symbols. So folks at Augmentative Resources make a number of products for the display and management of communication symbols. The two images up at the top and left here are of their Bliss tactile symbol carrier that they created specifically for the management, display, and transport of our tactile symbols. It has a rigid spine and a padded separator that keep the symbols from clacking against each other when it's things closed for transport. And in the picture at the top, I've used that space of the rigid spine to put a 3D printable message builder. There's an enlarged version below with two of our symbols, go and stop, attached. You can download that and print it from the printables website, all free. The image on the right is of their trifold choice board with some of our symbols attached. If your favorite AAC app allows you to substitute your own graphics for the default button graphics, then you can create a user interface for your student that is consistent and simple by just downloading and installing the graphics from BCI, or we support this by making all the graphics for our 242 symbols available from one of the VocSwitch web pages, because sometimes that's an easier way to get it into the AAC device. So there are pictures on the screen of TD Snap and Prolocore to go. In both cases, the default button graphics have been replaced with their Bliss symbol equivalents. Same as what's going on right here on the front table. So the voice, it's a simple device that you can use along with our symbols to give your students a multi-sensory experience. It reads the contents of an RFID tag and then plays a voice file or audio file based on the word or words that it finds on the tag. You can build one of these for yourself in less than 45 minutes using about $130 in off-the-shelf parts and a screwdriver. The RFID tags themselves cost anywhere from 15 cents to 30 cents a piece, depending on the volume that you purchase. I'm getting back to my notes. Okay, we provide free voice files in both English and Spanish for all 242 of our symbols. So
Turtle.
Or?
Español. Tortuga.
Pretty simple to do. Adding new concepts, adding new languages is really a simple concept here. And as I showed here a minute ago, you can give a voice to anything from a plush toy to a children's book. All of that is all open source, easy for you to do. You may prefer to let someone else do the 3D printing for you, and then you just purchase it from them. So the Etsy store, the 3D learning shop on Etsy, has already made a business of printing and selling the Project Core symbols. So we approached them and said, hey, would you like to print ours and sell those? And they said, sure. So the slide shows an image of the web page in their store for that offer of printing our symbols. And note that augmentative resources and this Etsy store are only included in this presentation on the chance that you may want to take advantage of their products and services. We are not tied to them in any way, but we're trying to find ways to lower barriers to you. As I mentioned at the beginning, this is the work of a team of volunteer therapists, engineers, and teachers, and this is the team. All right, that's the end of the spoken part of the presentation. I'd like you to please come up and get hands-on with all these things and ask any questions you may have. This is my email address, so if you have any questions later that don't get answered here, feel free to contact me with your ideas and your questions.